At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, joined as always on Thursdays with senior, what are you, senior reporter, senior analyst?
First of all, I don't like the word senior.
It makes you sound old, though. But you're old.
Very close to being a senior citizen. come on.
Matt Newmans. We'll just leave it at that. Everyone knows Matt. You can follow him on Twitter at MattNewmans247. You can catch him pretty much on every show on the VSiN network. Read all his work on VSiN.com. A little housekeeping, as always. Please rate, review, subscribe. Tell a friend. Tell some family members. Let's get those numbers up and up as we head into week number two. Jonathan Von Tobel.
Unless you hate it. If you hate the podcast, don't review it.
Well, yeah, you know, you could still subscribe, and, you know, if you could just give us 5 stars and then say, you know, that Murray's an idiot. I mean, that still gives us 5 stars. That's fine. But we'll have JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, with the Lines Reveal Show, as it'll be every Sunday. You can catch it live at 2 p.m. Eastern. And if you miss it, catch it right here on this feed. So, Matt, last week, we'll review the game tape. 1-2 for you, 1-2 for me, 1-2-1 for Adam Burke. Not a great start, but we'll bounce back. We'll get there.
I think we started actually 2 weeks ago. We had better results.
Week zero.
In week zero.
Yes, that is true.
We took a step back in week one, and just to review the tape quickly, Notre Dame played about the game I expected. Mm-hmm. I thought the Irish were going to limit the big plays by Ohio State and stay in that game in the fourth quarter, and essentially that's what happened. So taking the 17.5 paid off there. Tim, I'm just blown away by how bad Boise State was on Saturday night. That was a loser for me. And, man, you got to hope for Boise's sake that was a little bit of an aberration, or maybe first game rust and some mistakes right out of the gate, because that team looked really bad, and I expected a lot better from Boise State. And also had a loser with LSU in that wild game on Sunday night. Really didn't deserve to win it. But when you go 99 yards and have an extra point to force overtime, you want to get that lucky win. Yeah. You need those sometimes. And come on, man. Anyway, let's hope we get back on the winning side this weekend. I got to be honest, I don't love this college football card. I was hoping to like it a lot better, and just not the case. You know, sometimes as the week goes along, you warm up to some of the games and say, well, you know, I do like this card better. I'm just not really doing that right now.
Yeah, a couple of spots that I always tend to like. You got some unranked teams, a favorite against a ranked team. This is always an interesting one to look at. Some home dogs. But I tend to agree. Still got a couple games. You wrote up a couple for VSiN.com. Quick review of my plays. South Dakota State, that was not the most aesthetically pleasing game, but we'll take take that one. And
That's a good call by you. Actually, that was the right side the whole way.
And 7-3 was the final score in that one with no touchdowns scored. I had App State on the money line. They flipped as a favorite after we recorded it. Late went off at 3, and obviously lost a epic shootout of Chase Bryce. Just puts a little less touch on the air, a little less touch on that 2-point conversion. Maybe we get a winner, but kind of to what you were saying about LSU, when you get 6 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, I wouldn't necessarily say I was on the right side. And then Clemson minus 13 in the first half was a frustrating one. I didn't think that offense would be that bad. Had an opportunity at a pick 6 on Georgia Tech's final drive, right in the hands of the defender, goes through it. Georgia Tech ends up kicking a field goal on that drive. So 1-2 week for me. But yes, let's look to bounce back.
You know, one thing I'll say about the Clemson game is I think DJ is going to be benched at quarterback and Cole Klubnik is going to take over within the next few weeks. But also, DJ didn't play as poorly as some people made it. There were some drop passes. I just think when you watch him, you can tell something's missing. And Clemson's probably going to be a much better team in the big picture with the five-star freshman. I think Dabo is eventually going to make that change.
Yeah, and I think they still win this conference. Obviously, the odds would indicate that. They're odds on to do so. I know good news that Sam Hartman is returning for Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. That's a September 24th showdown. And NC State, as I didn't say it as a play here on the show, but I said be careful against East Carolina. And certainly that was a fortunate win there for the Wolfpack. All right, let's jump into week two. The main course, and it starts in Austin, Texas, 11 a.m. local kick, noon Eastern on Fox. 20-point home underdog or the Longhorns against number one Alabama, a total of 65.5. And a friend of ours who does a really good job finding some interesting trends is Chris the Bear Felica. Alabama, when a favorite of at least 20 points away from home under Nick Saban, is 26-0 straight up, Matt, and 18-8 ATS. I don't personally have a play on this one. It would be Alabama or pass for me. And there's part of me that thinks kind of like that game we referenced last week with Notre Dame and Alabama, the college football playoff. Maybe the back door's open. I don't know if Alabama's out to embarrass Steve Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorns, but it would be Alabama or pass for me.
Yeah, I think I'd probably be in the same boat. Quinn Ewers and the Longhorns had an easy time of it last week. It's going to be night and day to what they're going to face this week against the Bama defense, which gave up nothing to Utah State. I don't think the Longhorns over four quarters can hang in this game. And if you're going to bet Texas, basically I feel like what you're betting on, Tim, is maybe a backdoor cover.
Yeah.
And that's never what you want to bet on. You want to hope that your team is within, if you're catching 20 points, you want to hope your team is within 10 points in the fourth quarter. And I don't think that's going to be the case with Texas here. Like I mentioned to you last week, I've got a source who has watched a lot of Texas football practices, and he says the offensive line is nowhere near where it needs to be to handle this Alabama defense. And I guess, you know, Quinn Ewers is still a very young quarterback, too. So I think they're going to be outclassed in over four quarters. I don't think the Longhorns can stay in the game. Obviously, it would have been a lot smarter to grab a better number over the summer. Mm-hmm. When the games of the year went up, I think you could have grabbed 12.5 at one point.
Yep.
With Alabama. 12.5, 13.5, even 14.5.
That's the first half line now,
yeah.
Matt.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's another way to look at it, too. I think Alabama first half, once again, is going to be a very popular bet, and why not? Because it cashes a lot.
It came home last weekend against Utah State as they led 41-0 at the half. So number one Alabama at Texas. Right now, 20 points is the spread at time of record, with a total of 65.5. Florida goes from unranked to number 12 in the AP poll, Matt, after an impressive victory against Utah on Saturday night down in the swamp to start the Billy Napier era off with a victory. So a home dog comes home with the Gators. And now, because of that, they're laying 6 against Kentucky with a total of 52.5. So, Matt, is this your classic overreaction spot to a Florida team that looked very impressive? Anthony Richardson now getting Heisman hype. I think I saw him as low as 18-1 at some spots to win the Heisman Trophy. He was fantastic. Rushed for over 100 yards. The 2-point conversion was one that will be remembered for a long time by Florida fans. But is this too much of an overreaction to see Florida laying 6 at home against Kentucky?
I think it is an overreaction. I'm tempted to take the Wildcats here. I think they should be live dogs. First of all, Florida off a real big win at home over Utah, a game that went down to the wire. and all the Heisman hype now that's heaped on Anthony Richardson might be a little bit too much. And, you know, I was talking to a really sharp bettor this morning who said he's tempted to play Richardson at 20-1 to win the Heisman. And I talked him out of it. I said, look, he's a dynamic playmaker. I love him too, but he's not going to win the Heisman most likely because Florida is just not going to win enough games. And you're trying to beat Bryce Young. You're trying to beat C.J. Stroud, other quarterbacks at the top of the Heisman board. It's just unlikely that Florida is going to win enough games for Richardson to win the Heisman. As far as this one goes, Kentucky finally had a breakthrough 4 years ago, Tim. I think it was 2018. Kentucky beat Florida. That stopped a 31-game losing streak in the series. And this thing's been pretty even here last few years. In fact, Kentucky's 4-0-1 against the spread in the past five. I think the you know, the Wildcats are not going to be intimidated going to the Swamp, and they've got a big-time quarterback too. So I'm kind of looking at the Cats as live dogs here. I have not played this yet, but it's one that's on my radar.
Well, one thing to keep in mind is the suspension to Chris Rodriguez did not play in Kentucky's opener against Miami of Ohio. Still no update from Mark Stoops whether or not he will play. They did get some positive news. Jordan Wright will be playing. There was some eligibility issues there, and he will be available to play in that game. So the outside linebacker available. Yeah, for me, I do feel like this is maybe a sell high opportunity on Florida. How do they respond after that big win? Another night game, though, at the Swamp. No play yet for me, but Kentucky would be certainly a look for me. Late night game.
Will Levis, how good is he?
Yeah, I mean, all that buzz, a lot of first-round grades. Now it almost feels like it's shifted, right? It's Anthony Richardson. No one talking about Will Levis and the mayonnaise and the coffee. So we will see. But Anthony Richardson, can he build off of that performance that he had last weekend, which was really impressive? Yeah. And look, Utah, I thought, to me, and I know you're high on Utah, Matt, I didn't necessarily come away from that game thinking much worse of Utah. You know, Cam Rising, I thought, played overall really well. He made a bad throw in a spot where they should have, at worst, kicked the field goal to force overtime. He forced one into the end zone, and they ultimately lose because of that. But I thought, you know, for Utah backers out there, I know there's a lot of them. You're one of them. I wouldn't be really put off too much by that performance.
No, I wouldn't either. And I said last week, as much as I love Utah, I'm not laying the 2.5 at the Swamp because that's just a very tough way to open the season on the road in the heat and humidity in the Swamp like that. And I wasn't surprised by the outcome of the game. Like you said, it basically was a coin flip at the end. And Rising made one bad throw and a triple coverage in the end zone that gets picked off when it looked like the game was going to go to overtime. And don't forget about Cameron Rising, too. A lot of times we tend to expect these quarterbacks to be near perfect. He's only got one season of starting experience at the college level, so he's going to make some throws like that once in a while, but I still think the kid has got big-time potential, and this Utah team should still win at least 9 and probably 10 games.
I'm curious what your thoughts are on this next one, Matt. Mm-hmm. We have a late night game. By the way, the late night slate this weekend, for those who love those games,
love,
I know Matt,
games.
Matt loves them. For those on the East Coast, Baylor at BYU in Provo, 7:15 Pacific, 10:15 Eastern kickoff in Provo. That game might even get pushed back a little further because it's following Kentucky and Florida. This line right now as of record is sitting at 3.5. It touched 4 this week. Saw some buyback. I believe it opened as BYU -1 at Circa on Sunday. So now you look at BYU, weird game down in Tampa. Started off because of a delay. I think they were, you know, in the locker rooms for 2+ hours. They come out first play from scrimmage, bang, touchdown. And they led 28-0 after the first quarter. Roll South Florida 50-21. And I don't know what you can really gain off of what Baylor did. They played Albany. They won 69-10. So for all intents and purposes, this is where the season begins for these two teams. They played last year in Waco. Baylor got the best of them, winning that game by 10. Interestingly enough, Jerry Bohannon actually started that game for Baylor, and then he was on USF last weekend. So you got number 9 Baylor at number 21 BYU. Number 3.5 in favor of the Cougars. You can find a 3 if you like the Cougars. 53.5 is the total here, Matt.
Yeah, one of my best bets here is going to be laying the three with BYU. I don't love it, but if I have to narrow down my best bets this week, I'm going to put BYU on the short list. And, Tim, if you look at returning production and experience, BYU is one of the most mature teams in college football. Has got near the top of the list in returning production. Baylor, near the bottom of the list. I think BYU's top five and Baylor is bottom 10 in terms of production. I think this line is more based on respect for what Baylor did last season and Dave Aranda as a head coach. I think Blake Shapen's a pretty good quarterback, too. I'm not sure exactly how good he is. Haven't seen enough of him, but he's good enough for Baylor to win eight or nine games with this season, probably. I just think this BYU team could be special, Tim. And when I looked at it in the preseason, I felt like this is a fringe top 10 team, believe it or not. And I feel like Notre Dame's being a little bit overrated in that game against BYU out here in Las Vegas next month. But the Cougars have 11 starters back on defense and eight back on offense. You got 19 starters back, one of the most mature teams in college football. And your quarterback's Jaren Hall, who's got some experience. Last week he was 25 for 32. He hit 12 different receivers. BYU was up 38-7 at the half. I don't care really who you're playing. If you're playing a respectable team at the Division I level, FBS level, and you're up 38-7 at the half on the road, that's impressive. And BYU, had to wait out about a two-hour lightning delay and then started to fire on all cylinders. I like the coaching advantage is definitely with Baylor in this game.
Yeah, I love Dave Aranda.
But I think most of the other check marks are on the BYU side, and Provo is a really strong home field advantage with the Bears going to altitude here, playing one of the most experienced teams in college football. I'm going to bank on BYU. But again, when you hear me give out best bets, I'm never going to say lay 3.5. I just can't do it. And find a way to lay 3. Bet the money line, whatever you want to do, but don't lay 3.5. I remember last year, Tim, there was before the Super Bowl, one of our – actually, it's JVT. I'll just say it. Because JVT and I were talking about when the Super Bowl line came out, and he told me he was excited the next day before the show, and he told me, you know, I laid 3.5 on the Rams. You know, that was a good number. And, you know, a lot of places had 4 at the time. I said, well, I don't think 3.5 is ever a good number. I would never lay 3.5 because you got to find a way to lay 3, lay a cheaper money line price, do whatever you can. And if you remember back, the Rams won each of their final 3 playoff games by exactly 3 points. And that just happens too often. I can't lay 3 and then get burned by laying the hook. So I don't recommend that. Find a different way to bet it. And I'm not knocking JVT there because he got a better number than what was out there in the market. But I never think 3.5 when you're playing the favorite is by definition, a good number.
BYU, by the way, if you're wondering, readily available at 3. So there's more 3s and 3.5s out there. So like Matt said.
By the way, it opened 2.5 here at Circa, I believe.
Okay,
right?
Is that what it is? Okay, yeah.
And somewhere it opened 2.5. I thought it was here at Circa. I didn't get to it until it got to 3. So I was a little bit slow on the trigger.
Final main course here of these big time games. Top 25 showdown. Pittsburgh was involved in an absolute thriller to start the college football season. I think we need a petition to the college football overlords. Let's get the backyard brawl every single year. Love the atmosphere. Love the play out of the game. And for West Virginia to throw a pick late in that one. Some questionable coaching decisions by Neil Brown. And Pitt gets the win 38-31. And now Pitt has to turn around, Matt, and play Tennessee. A revenge type of spot for the Volunteers. Volunteers laying 6 on the road against number 17 Pitt. Tennessee comes in as the 24th ranked team in the country. No rest advantage one way or the other. Both of these teams actually played on Thursday night. Tennessee smashing Ball State on a relatively easy start to the season there. For the Volunteers, Pat Narduzzi, who gets mad about everything, was told about this point spread. So he's going to apparently let his team know, a la Marcus Freeman style. Brad Powers was on VEASAN Primetime earlier this week and said one of his favorite bets of the week was laying it with Tennessee in this spot. He's really high on the Volunteers. Was that Pittsburgh game a bit fraudulent? Should they have won that game and gotten the cover too? What do you see with Tennessee laying 6 on the road with a total of 67?
Well, I actually had West Virginia plus 7.5 in that game.
Well,
and,
there you go.
There were plenty of 7.5s out there if you were playing the dog in that game. I thought the Mountaineers should have won it. They kind of let it get away, but that tends to happen once in a while. How did you evaluate the quarterback play in the West Virginia pick game with the two former USC QBs?
I don't know. It was fine.
It's about what you expected. It was It was okay, not great. Yeah.
I'm a big Hendon Hooker guy. I felt like if Hendon Hooker had been the starter, I don't know if they get big wins last year. And I think that was the knock on Tennessee, right? Was they didn't really get those big wins in important spots last year. But I believe Hendon Hooker in this offense is what they need.
I'm high on Tennessee too, but I'm not gonna play the Volunteers or lay it in this game. I'm more of a home dog player, Tim, and I think Pat Narduzzi and the Panthers feeling disrespected, they're gonna be fired up. Now, you know, like you said, Marcus Freeman played that card last week, but the Irish were on the road at the Horseshoe. As much as I like to bet home dogs, I can't really get on the Pitt side here, but I'm definitely not going to lay it with Tennessee, so it's going to be a pass. I'll just make it quick.
3:30 Eastern kickoff, that one in Pittsburgh. I would imagine plenty of burnt orange will be in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania for that one with a number of 6. All right, let's get to Matt's favorite segment. Because we talk about spicy food, that is spicy matchups of the weekend, Matt. Noon Eastern. South Carolina at Arkansas. South Carolina beat Georgia State. We're going to talk about Georgia State in one of my plays a little bit later on. A bit fraudulent of a box score. Got two punt blocks for a score. Kicked two 50-yard field goals. Yeah. Had a fake a field goal. They were down in the third quarter against Georgia State. And then you got Arkansas. A hell of a game. Get the cover. And now Wu-Pig Sui is laying 8.5 with a total of 53, Matt, against South Carolina at noon on Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this a lot next Monday. It's called Overreaction Monday in the NFL.
Yep.
And you try not to overreact to what you see in one game. I was not impressed by South Carolina. That was a fluky score. And if you looked at the quarterback ratings in the SEC after week one, Spencer Rattler, the lowest rated quarterback in the conference. Did you see that?
I did.
Yeah. So I actually like the Razorbacks here. I think they should roll. I actually do have Arkansas on my long list of teams to consider, but it's not a bet I've made this week. So.
Well, here's your favorite number, Matt. 3.5. That is what Texas Tech is a favorite against Houston.
Kind of like Houston here.
Houston, maybe this is an overreaction. Houston, life and death with the Roadrunners outgained by about 100 yards. But they get the win in triple overtime. Clayton Tune, his heroics leaping into the end zone in that third overtime. One of the more entertaining games, in my opinion, of week one. Great atmosphere at the Alamo Dome. And now you got Texas Tech. Tyler Shuck is out, but is that a bad thing? I don't know. Donovan Smith came in and played well. Granted, it was against Murray State. Last year, Matt, if people remember the Bailey Zappi era at Western Kentucky.
How could you forget it?
Austin, their offensive coordinator was Zach Kittley. He's now the OC at Texas Tech.
Yep.
This game in Lubbock, once again, maybe a little revenge. Houston, I believe one of their only losses last year was to the Red Raiders very early in the season. I was a bit surprised to see Texas Tech as a favorite here. And you said maybe you like... fighting Dana Holgerson's a little
bit. I do. I'm probably going to end up on the Houston side here, especially there's 3.5 out there.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah, there was, I think, a little bit of a overreaction to Houston needing to struggle to beat UTSA on the road. Hey, the Roadrunners are good.
They're a good football team.
And I don't think a lot of people realize how good they are, and that's probably why.
The triangle of toughness. That's what they say down there.
I did see that. Okay. Well, the Cougars are kind of traveling in a triangle here, going from San Antonio up to Lubbock and then back to Houston. That's a tough way to open the season. Back-to-back road games at UTSA and Texas Tech. I think it's not a bad thing that the Red Raiders are going to have to go a different route at quarterback this week. I'm not a big Tyler Shuck fan, so I'm not adjusting my handicapping much at all or my rating on Texas Tech based on that. Dana Holgorsen is not my favorite coach to bet. This is a veteran Houston team. I actually give Houston more credit than a lot of people do for that win at UTSA.
Down 21-7 going into the fourth quarter. Coming back, took the lead. UTSA forces overtime with a great kick. No, I give them a ton of credit. I think that was a hell of a game. That's an in-state rivalry game. I thought that line was suspiciously short. So, I didn't mention it on the pod, but I thought UTSA at plus four was worth a look. We'll talk about the Roadrunners here coming up.
Off-the-radar
games.
I almost played UTSA plus four last week, and I'm right now almost ready to play Houston plus 3.5. I really don't understand why the number is 3.5. That's what I was trying to figure out, because I would make this number Tech minus like 1.5.
Yeah, so that that hook is hanging out there in that game. A 4 o'clock Eastern kick, I think 3 o'clock local. That'll be on FS1. A game that you do have a play on and has seen actually a lot of movement, Matt, in the market, is Stanford hosting number 10 USC. Congratulations to USC. Go crown yourself national champs. You beat Rice 66-14. Three pick sixes in the game.
Wow.
So if you took the big number with Rice, that's a tough one to swallow. But this thing opened, Matt, here at Circa, where we're sitting right now, Stanford plus 12, and it's been a steady stream of wise guy money, it seems, because this thing has moved down to 8, a total of 67.5. USC, I'll say this, there's not going to be any atmosphere there. This isn't any situation where Stanford comes out in droves. It's one of the weaker home fields, at least per the crowd.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have an NFL-type quarterback in Tanner McKee. Can he step up? Is David Shaw able to get enough out of these guys to keep it close against USC, as they are now catching only 8 against the Trojans?
Yeah, I took Stanford plus 9 here, and I was a little slow on this number, too. I should have grabbed the opener right away. I was a little bit hesitant. The more I looked into the USC game, the less impressed I was. What happened? You know, Rice is a garbage team, and there was a lot of fluke scores in that game. I still don't know how good the USC defense is. Nobody does. I have my doubts. And Tanner McKee, like you said, one of the best quarterbacks in the Pac-12. And how about E.J. Smith, the son of Emmitt Smith?
Yeah.
He had a big game last week. I know it was against Colgate, but I think this kid's got a lot of potential. And he's a tough runner. He's got speed, toughness. And we're going to find out if the USC defense could handle McKee and Smith this week. I have my doubts until I see the USC defense do it. I'm not going to believe it. And it's still pretty much the same USC defense that allowed 62 points to UCLA late last year. New defensive coordinator makes a big difference. So I shouldn't say the same defense, but relatively a lot of the same personnel. I knew I was going to be on the opposite side of Stanford Steve Cogg on ESPN. Stanford Steve, no way was he going to get behind Stanford in this game. I think he's got a really low opinion of this Cardinal team, and I knew that he would come in laying the points on USC, and I looked at the ESPN chalk column today.
There it was.
And there's Stanford Steve on USC. I'm actually disappointed in myself for missing the better number in this game. I thought the 11 opener was too high, and by the time I got to it, it was 9, so I'm a little bit late on the trigger there. But, hey, don't forget, the Cardinal went to USC, went to L.A. last season at the Coliseum as big dogs. And they beat the Trojans, and that pretty much ended the Clay Helton era at USC, which is a good thing.
No, that's a terrible thing.
Stanford did USC a big favor by winning that game last year, and now it's Lincoln Riley, and it's a whole new look. I think the Cardinal should be live in this game, and I'm a little bit surprised to see. I thought I was going to be kind of on an island and there were not going to be many people who like Stanford this week, but you are seeing a lot of money. And it's actually coming from some respected groups on Stanford, too.
Well, there's a lot of people, and I thought the overall opinion this offseason was, you know, USC very improved, but not as improved as, you know, some people are putting them playoff-wise and whatnot. My worry about Stanford is how much have they gotten better? Because they were getting their doors blown off.
I had almost every starter back.
Yeah.
That's sometimes not a good thing when you have a bad team the previous year. But I do think Stanford's going to be much improved. You know what's difficult? Aside from Colgate, and I bet Stanford's win total over 4 for the season. Man, that's a tough schedule.
Yep.
I mean, the Colgate game is a gimme. Other than that, no real gimmies on the schedule. You got to beat Arizona State, Washington State, That's as easy as it gets. Wins are going to be hard to come by for the Stanford team, but I do think it's going to be a much improved team.
Well, one of my favorite games of this weekend is another late night game. Haven't pulled the trigger yet, but maybe you can convince me otherwise. Is this an overreaction? Oregon State at Fresno State. Jake Haner and company played Cal Poly in week one. Can't really learn all that much from that game. Oregon State, very impressive. Mm-hmm. Crushed Boise State 34-17. Outgained them by 159 yards. Turned Boise over five times. Hank Bachmeyer, who's been there for a decade, he gets benched. And now you're looking at Fresno State and Oregon State at a pick. Is this a spot to maybe sell a little high on Oregon State? Or, Matt, was this did Oregon State prove a lot of the preseason prognostication? So people were really high on Jonathan Smith's squad. Mm-hmm. I would lean towards the home team here in an important spot for Fresno State. I think they're the best team in the Mountain West. They have the best quarterback in this game, in my opinion. That's no knock on Chance Nolan. But he threw a couple picks last weekend as well. No official play yet, but leaning towards the Bulldogs there in the Valley.
Well, we're on the same page here because Houston and Fresno State are two on my list here where I said I'm probably going to play these by the weekend, and I'll probably play these by tomorrow. And I'm high in this Oregon State team as well, Tim. And you got nine starters back on defense. I thought has a chance to be the best defense in the Pac-12. It's right up there near the top. And we saw how good the Beavers were on defense last week. It was more of a case of Boise just being bad. I'm not sure. Hank Bachmeyer had 25 career starts. He looked like he was making his first career start last week against Oregon State. Fresno, like you said, I agree. Jake Haner, best quarterback in the Mountain West. The one thing that bothered me late last season, Fresno was a 5-point home favorite to Boise and got blown out 40-14. And I thought that was maybe a sign that Boise was on the improve and on the upswing, and that's obviously not the case. I can't quite figure out how Fresno got blown out at home in that game against Boise last year. But Jeff Tedford in charge, not much of a drop-off from Kalen DeBoer as head coach. And I'm leaning Fresno here. I think Oregon State's big win over Boise might be a bit of an overreaction because the Beavers, I still think, are a pedestrian offensive team, and they just look better than they really are last week because Boise was so damn bad. That was disgusting. I was on the Boise side. Sometimes is it better, Tim, to lose a game like LSU where you watch it for 4 hours and it rips your guts out at the end? Or is it better to just get your head caved in right away and know you have no chance?
I think it's the latter. Sitting there, MFing, me sending Matt texts on the I'm a flying home from Indiana telling him that Clemson's offense is absolutely garbage. No one would do that. I did that. All right, a couple more spicy matchups. One you have a play on. Mississippi State at Arizona. Both teams very impressive in their openers. Mississippi State mopping the floor with Memphis. And then Arizona welcoming San Diego State into Snapdragon Stadium with a beatdown. And then Arizona State at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, if you were on the side of the Pokes on Thursday night, that was a brutal beat when they led 51-15 and don't cover, 21? I think that's what it closed against Central Michigan. So Arizona at home is catching 10.5, and Oklahoma State on at home laying 11. Either one of these jump out of you, Matt?
By the way, that Central Michigan-Oklahoma State game, the best bet was over the total by far. Okay, so I took 11 with Arizona here. The Circa opened 7.5, and another book, I believe, can we say it? FanDuel? Okay, FD, opened 14. On this game. So you got a big disparity in the opener, and I respect the Circa odds makers more. Yeah. I think the 7.5 is a more realistic number. I took 11, and I think you're going to have split betting action on this. One of our friends, Chris DeBear Felica, is coming in on Mississippi State in this game. But I'm going to take Arizona. My biggest regret, Tim, we should have a bet regret segment here each week because my biggest regret last week was not playing Arizona. I had it on my list. I looked at that game for a month. I said, I think the Wildcats are going to be live dogs in that game at San Diego State. And I didn't play it, and I was disgusted with myself for not betting Arizona last week. That's the type of team that fits everything I'm looking for. I don't think it was a fluke. Now, San Diego State's not up to its usual standards. And going into the season, I rank San Diego State like the fourth or fifth best team in the Mountain West, so it's not the same. And the Aztecs have very poor quarterback play once again. But just a different Arizona team. And I thought when I did the Pac-12 previews for the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, there were three teams in the Pac-12 that kind of jumped out to me as having a chance to be really improved this season. And Arizona was one. The other two were Stanford and Oregon State. And the thing is, if you don't have a quarterback in college football, you don't have a team, because everything can fall apart. Every other aspect of the team can fall apart if you don't have a quarterback who can move the football. Jaden Delora, the transfer from Washington State, pretty good quarterback. He threw for 299 and four touchdowns. He had one pick last week. But Arizona outgained San Diego State 461 to 232. There was nothing fluky about it. Nope. And also, when you look at the Wildcats, they've got speed at the receiver position now. Jacob Cowling, the transfer from UTEP, is a big-time player. They've got speed out there in the perimeter, and they can stretch defenses. So I think this game's got a real shot to be a shootout, Tim. And the problem I have, and I can see why the Bear came in on Mississippi State, because we don't know if Arizona's defense is legit. It's one thing to defend San Diego State, and it's a punchless offense. It's a totally different thing to defend Mississippi State and Will Rogers and Mike Leach and a highly efficient passing offense. So that's, I think, the tricky aspect to me is we don't know if Arizona's pass defense can hold up in this game, but I'm going to take my chances here and say that Arizona's a much improved team and should be a live dog Saturday night catching 11. That's what I took.
Jed Fish, if you follow recruiting, has really done an impressive job out of the chute there with Arizona, bringing talent in. Oklahoma State, I think Arizona, I don't think very highly of Arizona State. I would look to either lay it or pass in there. Feels like the folks down in Stillwater are ready to put down some beatdowns and maybe get back to the old Mike Gundy days of scoring at a high clip like we saw last weekend. All right, Matt, let's speed through these with top 25 teams called big boys with big spreads. We'll do three at a time. Ohio State taking on Arkansas State. They're laying 44.5 against the Red Wolves. Clemson against Furman. That's an FCS versus FBS game. So at time of record, no line. And then Texas A&M against Appalachian State. Adam Burke and I talked about this game. I laid 17 with Texas A&M. I think you and I, Matt, are similar. We don't like to lay big numbers. But I just felt like this was a really tricky spot for App State, being that they're coming off of a gutting loss against North Carolina. Had it right there. Now you have to go down to this humidity, take on Texas A&M. And let's be honest, Texas A&M, I thought, not that impressive in week one.
Not surprised.
So I think this could be a spot where they try to flex their muscles. I guess the opposite side on this would be, Matt, that Texas A&M next week plays Miami. So is this a look-ahead possibility there for the folks down in College Station? So I did lay 17 with Texas A&M. Going back to Ohio State real quickly, Arkansas State's really bad. Butch Jones is the head coach there. I don't expect much of anything from the Red Wolves this year. Ohio State got a little criticism. Hey, what's up with this offense? Yeah. Is this a spot where they come out and say, oh, you want to see our offense, and put it on Arkansas State?
I think your latter point is right on the money. Ryan Day knows that the Buckeyes were just jumped in the AP poll, and a lot of people are unimpressed with how they played against Notre Dame last week. So I expect Ohio State to put up a big number on Arkansas State. And Butch Jones, when he was at Cincinnati, there was a time where it looked like he might be a coach on the rise.
Yeah.
He's a blockhead. He is. He's he was exposed badly at Tennessee, and he's not a coach I want to bet on here. I think the Buckeyes, more than anything, they know they need to put up a big number this week, and they need to gain confidence offensively, and I think that's what's going to happen. You're going to see C.J. Stroud pass for like six touchdowns, and Ohio State's probably going to put 60 points on the board. So no interest in the Red Wolves as dogs for me in that game, because this is going to be one of those get right games for the Ohio State offense.
And you're looking at a first half line of 28 for Ohio State.
You know what? It might be 42 zip at halftime. I'm serious.
I would not look at Alabama and Utah State. What was it? 41-0 at the half. All right. A couple more big boys with big spreads. Wisconsin laying 17.5 against Washington State. The Cam Ward era out in Pullman got off to a great start. Georgia's got an FCS opponent in Samford. Michigan State laying 34.5 against Joe Moorhead and the Akron Zips, who needed overtime to beat St. Francis of, Laredo, Pennsylvania last week. So Wisconsin, 17.5, no line with Georgia, and Michigan State laying 34.5.
The one game that intrigues me a little bit here is Washington State at Wisconsin. And then you talked about Cam Ward. He's a transfer quarterback from Incarnate Word in San Antonio, and he lit up FCS competition. He had 77 TD passes in 2 years, I think 47 last year. And his coach came along with him as offensive coordinator to Washington State. And it looked like, this air raid type of offense was going to be intriguing, let's put it that way, in the Pac-12. And I still think Washington State's got a chance to put up some big numbers against some of the weaker Pac-12 defenses. Wisconsin's not a weaker type of Pac-12 defense.
No.
And I think Cam Ward and the Cougars are going to struggle here. I'm not really tempted to take the 17.5. I think this is the type of game where the dog can hang around for a while and eventually get blown out. But, man, it's also tough to lay big numbers with teams like Texas A&M and Wisconsin. Yeah. You watch these teams, they got sluggish offenses early in the season. So all these games you've mentioned here with these big numbers are going to be a pass for me.
All right, last three big boys with big spreads. You got Notre Dame, the Marcus Freeman home opener. They take on Marshall, a Marshall team that I believe, Matt, hasn't played a Power 5 team in 4 years. That number 20.5 in favor of the Irish, up 2.5 from the opener at Circa. Oklahoma taking on Kent State. Kent State in the midst of the grueling and daunting non-conference schedule. They'll get Georgia in a couple weeks. They lost to Washington this past weekend. Oklahoma laying 33.5. And then our Hawaii Rainbow Warriors, 51.5 point underdogs against the Michigan Wolverines. This will be the J.J. McCarthy audition for the starting job this weekend.
Yeah, Cade McNamara, not all that great last week. Threw a pick in the red zone, played okay. But, against this level of competition, it's kind of hard to gauge these quarterbacks. Okay, the first game you mentioned there was which one?
Notre Dame Marshall.
Be careful here with the Irish because it could be a little bit of a letdown spot off the Ohio State game. That's a game you target for the entire offseason, and you put everything you have into that game. Irish gave it a great shot and came up short. I'm concerned about their offense, Tim. I'm sure you are too because Tyler Buchner did some good things in that game, but Notre Dame just doesn't have the big playmakers. They've had some guys, a receiver in the past 10 years, who have been big-time playmakers. I don't see it on this team right now. So I'm not sure how many big plays Notre Dame's going to get. Marshall could be completely outmanned, and that's why I'm not going to play the Thundering Herd here. But I think you might see some sharper money show up on Marshall, on the Marshall side this week.
Yeah, Rasheen Ali, I believe, is still out. I think he had over 20-plus touchdowns last year for Marshall. Their quarterback transferred to Virginia Tech. He didn't look all that great against Old Dominion. Right. So I wouldn't lay it with the Irish. I do think Marcus Freeman's got this team motivated enough for a home opener. Jarrett Patterson will be back on the offensive line, which is a big thing for the Irish. They sorely missed him last weekend against Ohio State. Yeah. I thought their offensive line, Matt, was probably the biggest thing I was disappointed with in their performance.
Well, missing Patterson was
huge.
A problem.
Yeah, when you look at the communication
I'd
there.
I'd love to see those teams play again with the Irish healthier in South Bend.
Yeah.
Or on a neutral field.
We'll get it next year, and C.J. Stroud will be in the NFL September 23rd of next year in South Bend.
Was the third game you mentioned?
And then Michigan, Hawaii, and Oklahoma, Kent State.
I've been watching and betting Hawaii football for a long time, and Norm Chow had some bad teams. There have been a few really bad teams in Hawaii. This Hawaii team is horrendous. It might be the worst Hawaii team I've seen.
It's not good.
Undersized on defense. Everybody's a terrible tackler.
Blown out in both games to start the season.
No talent, really, at the quarterback position. Aside from Dedrick Parson, the running back, there's not too many positives to emphasize last week. Hawaii got off to a really good start in that game and still got blown out by 32 at home by Western Kentucky. So Jim Harbaugh is the type of guy who does play the bully role occasionally. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Michigan drop 60.
Yeah,
and 60 points on Hawaii. I just, you know, you watch Hawaii's first two games, and it's stunning to me. I know Timmy Chang's a first-year coach, and he took over a program that was wrecked by Todd Graham, the previous coach, and a lot of guys transferred out. But, man, you had months to get some players into that program. You got the transfer portal. You got ways to add talent. I'm stunned by the lack of talent on this Hawaii team, and I don't see any way that they can hang with Michigan. And I'm not even remotely considering the underdog here. I don't care. You make this number 56, I'm not taking Hawaii.
I took a long shot flyer this week on J.J. McCarthy to win the Heisman at 200-1. I think he takes the job. I really do.
Okay. Well, he's going to put up big numbers this week.
If you're a top five team and you're the quarterback and you're dual threat, I've made dumber bets. That is for sure. Maybe this next one is a dumb bet. So
you could have five TDs by halftime this week.
A couple off the radar games, a couple bets that I have. This one scares me, but I'm going back against North Carolina. That defense is absolutely dreadful. Appalachian State put up 649 yards, 8.1 yards per play. And then if you go back to week zero, we talked about it. Florida A&M, who just got blown out by Jackson State 59-3, averaged 7.2 yards per pass play against the Tar Heels defense. So they go on the road to Georgia State this week. I took the 7.5 with Georgia State. I believe this thing opened up 9 at Circa, so I didn't get the best of the number. But I think the Panthers are a team that has some talent. First time ever they've hosted a Power 5 team. Josh Downs, the All-American wide receiver, is considered a game-time decision. Caleb Hood, also considered a game-time decision. UNC running back. So I took the 7.5 with Georgia State. Last year, UNC beat them by 42. So this could all be a quick, painful loss by me taking the taking Georgia State. But we mentioned them playing South Carolina. That was a game in which they outgained the Gamecocks 311-306. Actually had the lead in the third quarter. Rushed for 200 yards on 40 carries. All of their running backs are back from a year ago. A team that finished 9th in the country in running. So I will take Georgia State plus the 7.5. And another game that I bet, and it's actually going against the market, which doesn't make me feel great. I think it's a horrible situational spot for UTSA. Mm-hmm. We talked about them and how well they played against Houston. So you lose in triple overtime against Houston, Matt, in front of a crowd of 37,526 fans, the sixth largest crowd in school history.
I like you have the exact attendance.
Nice. Oh, by the way, Sean, next week, UTSA gets to go to Austin, Texas and play the Longhorns for the first time in school history.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle, they have to travel about 2,000 miles, go to Mikey Stadium for a noon Eastern kickoff, take on a triple option in Army. I think this is a horrible spot for UTSA. I took the 2.5. I took a little on the money line. So two off the radar games that intrigue me. I'll throw a couple more at you before we recap our best bets. Wake Forest is at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Wake Forest getting great news this week. Sam Hartman is back. They're laying 13, though. This number jumped 5 points with the news of Hartman returning. And then Iowa State against Iowa, the Cy-Hawk Trophy, a point spread of 3.5 in favor of Iowa, who scored 7 points thanks to two safeties and a field goal.
Yeah, the unconventional way.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to play Iowa this week, but it's going to be at minus.
It's that number you hate.
It's going to be at minus 3, or it's going to be a money line play. Matt Campbell, 0-6 against the Hawkeyes. And you know what? You mentioned an angle there that plays into one of my best bets. When I said I'm taking the points with Arizona, I did at plus 11. Mississippi State's got a game at LSU on deck. And you talked about UTSA with that Texas game up next week. That's a big conference game, a look ahead conference game for Mississippi State, which another reason I like Arizona.
All right. To recap our best bets, I'll give out mine. I am on Army plus 2.5, plus a little on the money line. Georgia State plus 7.5. Texas A&M, I laid 17, not available now. I mentioned on Monday's pod, so not an official play on this podcast. Games that I'm intrigued by, Matt. I'm intrigued by Iowa, laying 3.5. We'll see if that number comes down. Mm-hmm. Maybe a buy low opportunity. The look at the game of the year line of Iowa-Iowa State at South Point, Matt, opened 13.
Sure.
And it is down now to 3.5. Also, Vanderbilt intrigues me. You know, they've got an athlete, a quarterback, And I think this was a bit of an overreaction to the return of Sam Hartman. I'm thrilled for Sam Hartman that he's back on the field. It's great for Wake Forest. They're a great offense, but to be laying 13 points on the road, Mike Wright is a fun guy to watch. And I know they played Hawaii in week zero, but I think Vanderbilt could keep it close there between between Wake. Not an official play. So I guess as of right now, as of record, the two I got, Army plus 2.5, Georgia State plus 7.5.
Okay. I might eventually land on Iowa and Vandy as well. We'll see what happens this
weekend.
So
we do.
We
talk it out. We think about different things that we maybe like.
I've been, you know, trying to warm up to some of these sides throughout the week, and I haven't quite got there yet with Iowa and Vandy, but I've been thinking about it. I'll give you five plays.
All right.
And we're going with Arizona plus 11, Stanford plus 9. I think the 9's still out there, right?
Yeah, I think you can get a 9.
BYU at minus 3. So you got one favorite. I'm playing Fresno, Tim, at a pick'em.
Yeah, oh, that's another one. All right.
Okay.
You're going to convince me of that, too.
All right, let's go with Fresno at pick'em. And I'm taking a 3.5 with Houston Cougars at Texas Tech.
All right. Adam Burke, to wrap up this podcast, he's with me on Army plus 2.5. He's going to lay the chalk with Arkansas in that showdown against South Carolina. He's going to lay it with Tulsa, a game that was not on our radar, Matt. Tulsa taking on the Northern Illinois Huskies. Going to lay the 6, and then he's also going to ride with the Pokes minus 11. So there you have it. Week number 2, Matt's got 5 plays. I'll join you on the Fresno train, too. But the two other plays that are unique for me, Army and Georgia State. But that's going to do it for Matt Eumanns at MattEumanns247. I am Tim Murray at 1TimMurray. Please rate, review, subscribe. Next edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, Sunday, there in your feed. Jonathan Von Tobel giving instant reaction to the Circa World Openers. That's going to do it. We'll talk to you next week right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.